So we're holding on tests on the bays, the third line of the wide lines. Oh, good luck, Jacob. So we're holding tests on the bays, the third line of the wide lines. We learned in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Ezehu Me'uvas Lo Yochel Liskon. We said, what's a crooked thing that can't be made straight? Zeha Bala Erva V'Holim Men Amamzer V'Cholo. This refers to somebody who has relations with an Erva and fathers a Mamzer, where as long as the Mamzer is alive, then it's Lo Yochel Liskon because he's living over there. And a Tosfos had said there's like an open sign of his Aveda constantly present over there because the Mamzer is alive. In fact, when you get down to it, I mean, also, the child of a mamzer is also a mamzer, so it continues on in future generations as well. So the Gemara says, holid ein lo holid lo. So the implication is, only because he fathered a child is it considered lo yuchal liskon, is it considered something that can't be fixed up, lo holid lo, but implying that if there didn't actually result in a child from it, then in a way it's not so bad, that it could be fixed up. The problem with that is, the same Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says, if a person steals, after she acts a gnavoi, then he can return what he stole, the yisakin, and that way he fixes up what he did wrong. Gozel Adam, if he kidnaps a person, Gozel Adam, if he, instead of a ganavi, the gazlan, he grabs away something from somebody else, same thing, after she acts a gzela, the yisakin. He can return the gzela, and everything's back to normal. Abel, Abal, Ish, but Reb Shimon Manasseh says, a man has relations with a married woman, the Osir, the Baila, and he made her Osir to her husband, Nishreb, and Ola, the Halachloi, then he gets removed from the world, and he goes, in other words, he can still do, well, Rashi uses the expression, Ein Loi Oy Tshuva, that there's no possible tshuva for him. Now, not really, there is possible tshuva for him, but in other words, there's always going to be an after effect of it, because he made the woman Osir to her husband, and there's no way to undo that. So we see that even when there's no child involved, and that itself, the fact that he was mizana with an eishes ish, which is one of the arayas after all, is already mu'uvas lo yochel liskon. So why in the mishnah is Reb Shimon Manasseh stressing that only v'holid mimenu mamzer? Then the braisa continues, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Yomer, that now in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Yochai had said that mu'uvas lo yochel liskon refers to a talmid chacham who went away from the Torah. That can never be fixed up in the sense that even if he does tshuva, he still can't make up the lost time, like we talked about yesterday. So, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Yomer, Ein Omer Baku Gomor Baku Chazir, you don't find, for example, that people say, check this camel to see if it has a mum, or check this chazir to see if it has a mum. Of course not. It's possible to bring it to korban anyway, so there's no sense in checking it for mumin. Ela Baku Tleh, what do you say when you need to check? Check this sheep and see if it has a mum, because if it has a mum, we can't bring it as a korban, and otherwise we could. So in other words, Reb Shimon ben Yochai is drawing a comparison with something that used to be good and now is not. Like a tleh, like a sheep, that used to be good for a korban and now has a mum and is not. The ezer, so what is this, what's the nimshal of that? Zeh tamid chacham shepirish min haTorah. That refers, like he said in the Mishnah, to a tamid chacham who abandoned the Torah, where he's a mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon, because even it's very going to be very hard for him to do tshuva to begin with. The Gemara has an expression elsewhere, shonu pirish koshen mikolam, a person who used to learn Torah and then abandon it is the most, he has the most sinner towards Yiddishkeit, even greater than Rama Oretz, even greater than Rama Oretz's wife. The Gemara says over there, so it's very difficult for him to do tshuva, and even if he does, he still can't make up a lost time. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, and in this connection, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish continues and says, Kol Tamid Chacham Shepirish Min HaTorah, a Tamid Chacham who abandons the Torah, all of our Kosev Omer, the Pasuk says on such a person, Kitsiper Negedes Min Kina, like a bird that wanders away and abandons its nest, Kain Ish Noged Bimakomo, so is like with a person who abandons his place. In other words, a Tamid Chacham's place is the Torah, like a bird's place is its nest, and therefore when he goes away from it, then he's lost. The Maharal explains, in fact, the idea is that a bird, after all, is a creature that flies in the air. It doesn't have any permanence on the ground. Where is its permanent place? Where is its home base? Where does it ground itself? And its nest. So therefore, if it has no nest, then like it has no place in the world. The same way a Talmid Chacham's place is the Torah. He doesn't really belong to the world. What grounds him in the world is the Torah. No Torah, then he really doesn't have a place. But Omer, and we have another pasuk that expresses this idea. The Navi criticizes the Jewish people. He says, "Ma matzu abisechem bi'ovel? What did your ancestors find wrong with me? Ki rochaku me'olai, that they separated themselves, that they distanced themselves from me." So in other words, we're talking about the same idea. We're talking about somebody who used to be close to Torah and then went away from it. So therefore, the Eibishter is complaining about that more than anything else. So we see also Rav Shimon Yochai says that's a more of an example of Mo'uvas Lo Yochal Listen. Anyway, the point is, though, Rav Shimon Menatzia had used the expression that just the fact that he's Mezana with an Eishes Ish is enough to make him be considered Mo'uvas Lo Yochal Listen because he asked her to her husband. So why in the Mishnah is he mentioning only Vaholid Memen of Mamzer, that only if a Mamzer results from it, is it Lo Yochal Listen? And the answer is like Kasha, Kanba Achosip Pnuya, Kanba Eshetish. There's no contradiction because the case of the Mishnah is talking about he was Mizana with his sister who's unmarried. So it's Arias, but he didn't ask her to her husband because she's not married. Okay, he asks her, a Kohen will never be able to marry her, but that's not considered Mo'uvas Lo Yochal Listen because he says she was going to marry a Kohen in the first place. So therefore, it's not Lo Yochal Listen. So therefore, only if it results in a mamzer, can we call it lo yuchal listen. But can the eishes ish, whereas the braisa he's talking about where it was a married woman, where whether a mamzer results from it or not, either way, the fact is he asks this woman to her husband, and that's something permanent that can never be undone. The ibayisim, or another possibility, ha ba eishes ish, both of them can be talking about an eishes ish. But like kasha, can ba oynes, can ba rotzim. It depends whether he was mezana with her ba oynes. So then, he didn't ask her to her husband, unless her husband is a Kohen, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. Can be rotten, as opposed to if it was willingly, where then she becomes also to her husband, regardless, even if her husband is a Yisrael. So then, in other words, so if it was ba'oinus, it's only lo yuchal listen, if there's a mamzer, but if it was berotzen, then it doesn't matter. The boisem, or a third possibility, ha ba'oinus, either way can be talking about where it was ba'oinus. Well, like Kasha, can be Eishes Kohen, can be Eishes Yisrael, it depends whether we're talking about the wife of a Kohen or the wife of a Yisrael, because the wife of a Kohen, even ba'oinus, is going to be also to her husband. We're going to learn about that more extensively, Be'ez Hashem, in the Sefer Yevamos, because a large part of Yevamos talks about various dinim of Arayas. So we're going to touch on that point over there about an Eishes Kohen being also to her husband, even if it was ba'oinus, unlike an Eishes Yisrael. So with an Eishes Kohen, just the fact that it was Mezana with her, even if it was ba'oinus, and even if there's no mamzer, that already is Mo'uvas Lo Yochal Listen, because she's forever also to her husband. As opposed to if it was the wife of a Yisrael, and it was ba'oinus, then unless there's an actual mamzer born from it, then it's not Lo Yochal Listen. Again, you know, we should stress what it says in the Mishnah that we talked about in the Mishnah that this that we're saying lo yuchal listen because the mamzer is still alive and the Altareba phrases it at the end of Perek Zayin of Tanya ma'achas shapani slavsha beguf vasa v'dam ma'achas shapani yodim and slavsha beguf vasa v'dam, but you can have an exceptional level of tshuva which causes that the mamzer ceases to exist, as in the famous story of Rav Yosef from Bashenkovich, the great mashpia who became a balagola. So then you could have that, but other than that, without that, then it's lo yuchal listen. Since we're mentioning about a Talmid Chacham who went away from the Torah, so the Gemara digresses and mentions another point in that connection. A pasuk says, "V'la yotze v'la ba ein shalom." The ones who go out and the ones who come in have no peace. In context, the pasuk is talking about the way it's going to be before Yemos Mashiach. But the Gemara Darshan's Amar Rav, Kivin Shiyotza Adam, Advar Halacha, Lidvar Mikra, when a person abandons learning Halacha and goes to learning only Mikra, only Tanakh, Shuv Ein Lo Shalom, then he never has any peace again. Because when he learns Gemara, he's able to know what the actual halacha is, what to do and what not to do. When he abandons that from Mikra, as important as Mikra is, the fact is you can't learn halachas from it. So therefore, you don't learn how to live as a yid from that. So therefore, you have to have dvar halacha. Rashi uses the expression shav mishnah mafarsha stima tatorah, that the mishnah explains the hidden things in the Torah. Actually, it's not even really only the mishnah. You need the Gemara explains in other places that just learning mishnah by itself is also no good because you can't learn practical halacha from that either. You need Gemara in order to understand the Gemara itself is going to point that out now. So Shmuel is that Kurdish be Talmud la Mishnah. So Shmuel says not only when a person abandons halacha and goes to Mikra, even when he abandons Talmud, which is where you learn the halacha from, and goes to Mishnah, where there also the problem is you learn Mishnah as geschmack as it is, the fact is you can't learn from it how to live as a yid. You need to be able to understand how to be able to extract the halacha from the Mishnah, because you have all the time where the Mishnah will say something and you don't know from it clearly what the halacha is, and you need the analysis of the Gemara to be able to do that. The censors, for whatever reason, didn't like the word Talmud, so they often change it to Shas. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, even going from one Talmud to the other. So Rashi says, particularly, we're talking about from Yerushalmi to Bavli. Yerushalmi is more straightforward. You arrive at the actual conclusion in Halacha much more straightforwardly. Talmud Bavli, as we know, you have a whole bunch of analysis, and not even always do you get to a Maskana. So in that sense, therefore, a person goes from Yerushalmi to Bavli, the Mahashakim or Shivani, Rashi brings from Gemara and Sanhedrin, that the Talmud Bavli is the Mahashakim, it's dark, it's very hard to extract the bottom line from it. So therefore, even that, then the person is Ein Shalom, and he has no peace with that. Tosfos actually says, though, another possibility could be, so it sounds like if he goes from Bavli to Yerushalmi, then he's good, then he's in good shape. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe it means, actually, that it's talking about he learned one, but he still didn't thoroughly understand it yet. So now he goes to the other one. Even he goes from Bavli to Yerushalmi. Nevertheless, at least he should have waited until he knows Bavli fully. And then that way, at least now when he goes to Yerushalmi, he'll know it more clearly. With that said also, so now we're saying over here on the face of it that Yerushalmi is better than Bavli. On the other hand, and a lot of the Rishonim point out, the Rambam points out, many other Rishonim point out, that from then until now, things have changed a great deal. Because the Rambam himself says that actually there were different times, even during the period of the Gemara itself. That during the time of Rabbi Yochanan, who is the one who's saying this, conditions were actually better for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael than they were in Babel. So therefore, they were learning much more clearly. The Yerushalmi style of learning, therefore, was much clearer than the Bavli and much better for that purpose. Whereas afterwards, in Babel at that time, they had a very low level of learning, relatively speaking, because there weren't such great chachamim over there and they were having hardships with the government whenever. Later on, the Rambam says, things changed. It became the other way around, and then the Gemara Bavli became better than the Yerushalmi, and it was completed more, and they spent another couple of hundred years on editing it compared to the Yerushalmi, and therefore it became better, and they learned on a higher level over there, and therefore now it's better to follow the Gemara Bavli, which is of course what we do in practical halacha. We follow the Bavli most of the time. Okay. The Mishnah says, since the next Mishnah doesn't directly have to do with Masechta Chagiga, but it mentions a number of areas of halacha, how the Torah Shebaal Peh in them relates to the Torah Shebaal Chsav in them, and one of them is Chagiga, so therefore it mentions that, and Derech Agav, it mentions all the other ones. So the Mishnah starts off, Heter Nedarim Perchin Ba'aver, the concept of Hatarat Nedarim is floating around, flying around in the air. In other words, the whole concept that you make a neder, and that a person should have the ability, that a chacham should have the ability to be matir neder, there's really no source for it in Torah Shebaal Chsav. There's like a tiny hint for it in the pasuk. It's mainly Torah Shebaal Peh. It's mainly the chachamim received in Torah Shebaal Peh that such a thing is possible. There is actually an Oda Torah from the Tzemach Tzedek points out, there's a place where he points out that a deeper meaning of that is Hetchin Adorim Prochim Ba'aver. The concept of Atonas Adorim comes from a far higher level of course than the world. So therefore it's Prochim Ba'aver, like flying around in the air. There's no room for it on the level of our world. And he mentions also Aver in this connection is a combination of Ur and Yud. So like it comes from the Ur of Chachma, like there's no source for it on any lower level. So therefore that's Prochim Ba'aver. There's nothing really, there's barely anything in Torah Shebaal Chsav that Heter Nedarim that tells us about the concept of Heter Nedarim. The next category, Kirchas Shabbos Chagigas Vahmi'ilas, the halachas of Shabbos and of Chagiga, which is the subject of our Masechta, and the halachas of Me'ila, Harehem Karorin Akvoyim Besaira. All of those are like mountains hanging on a hill. Shehim Nikra Mu'at, the halachas merubas, there's very little psukim regarding them, and there's many, many halachas about them. And the Gemara is going to show for each one of them how there's a, how you have, there's an essential thing about that area of halacha, which is not, which you don't have really, you have barely anything for it in the pasuk. You have like a slight thing for it in the pasuk, from which we learn that gigantic concept in halacha. On Amud Beis, there's a Tosfos actually that explains that maybe what it is they bring a different girsa that it's two separate groups. There's Harod, well, the Mishnah continues, Nikra Mumur, Ta'alachas Merubas, there's very little Nikra, very little Psukim regarding these things, Shabbos, Chagigas, and Elis, but there's lots of Halachas. So Tosfos on Amud Beis brings that there may actually be two different groupings over here. The Mishnah may mean to divide it into two groupings. Number one, there are the ones, Ka'arorah, Matluyim, Besaira, there are the ones that are like mountains hanging on a hair, meaning that there's barely anything. And then there's ones where there's at least a little more, there's mikra more the halachas merubas. There's at least something more than just a hair. There's a few psukim, but still not very much. And then there's many halachas that are an outgrowth of them. Marsha explains the symbolism of harorim atzlurim b'sayra, the expression mountains in the plural, hanging on a hair. Imagine you have two mountains hanging on one hair. You would expect one or the other of them is going to break off, but they don't. Both of them stay hanging on the two ends of the hair, and the same way all of these halachas do end up. We do have a basis for them in Teresh Baal Peh, and they are all valid halachas. Then the Mishnah continues, Hadinin, the concept of Dinin Mominus, Baha Avoidus, and all of the Dinin of Avoidum, the most of Seder Kodshim, Hataras Vatumus, the concept of Tumah Vatara, which is most of Seder Taras, Ba'arayus, and the Dinin of Arayus, which is a good part of Seder Noshim, Yesh Lahan, Amashi Yismoichu, those all have solid bases to base themselves on in Torah, meaning there's many of the details of them in the Torah. The Gemara is still going to point out, we're going to learn on Daf Yud Aleph, that even with those, there are essential points of them that are not in the Psukim, and that the Chachamim only know from Teresh Baal Peh. But relative to the other ones, there's much more psukim. For example, dinim, there's a substantial part of Parshas Mishpatim, and then Parshas Kisei, and other ones that deal with dinim moments. So you have a substantial number of psukim as compared to Shabbos, Chagigas, Me'ilis, where you have very little. And the Mishnah finishes off, Behein, Gufei Torah, these are essential parts of Torah, which the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean? And the ones we mentioned before are not Gufei Torah. The Gemara is going to end up explaining at the end of the Perek, it means all of these things that we mentioned in the Mishnah are all equally Gufei Torah. Don't think that some of them are more Gufim than others. There is an interesting idea that the Sefer Derech HaRishonim, a Sefer on Jewish history, brings, that you look at the way the Mishnah is dividing up the categories of halacha. First of all, I mean, you have major categories of halacha that are missing. Where's, for example, the halachas of Kashrus? Where's the halachas of Matnas Aniyim, and Trumas and Naisvis and all? So he says, actually, it's an interesting possibility that maybe when this Mishnah was composed, and many Mishnahs were composed long before Rebbe, and then Rebbe just incorporated them into the Mishnah. Maybe when this Mishnah was written, there were actually five Sedarim. So there wasn't a Seder Zroyim. The concept of Seder Zroyim were divided among other Sedarim. He says maybe most of them actually ended up in Seder Nezikin, because after all, it's about Dinim Ominous in a sense. There was a Masechta of Moed, which included Shabbos, Chagigas, and Me'ilas. Currently, we have Me'ilas in Seder Kodeshim. But after all, what's most of the time you're going to have Me'ilah, a common thing is going to be with the Korbanos that you have to bring for Yom Tov. So therefore, they would have put it in that Seder. Then you have Nezikin, which is Dinin, Kodshim, which is Avodas, Hataras Vatumas, which is Taras, and Alayas, which would be Noshim. So you had maybe five Sedarim that covered pretty much all of Halacha. And then later on, it was redivided into the six Sedarim that we know of. Later on in the Perek, later on in the Masechta, by the way, in the second Perek, we're going to talk about Toch Reish Sidrei Mishnah, or 600 or 700 Sidrei Mishnah that they had in those times. Doesn't necessarily mean Sidrei Mishnah as in like Zroyim, Moed, Noshim, etc. It means various forms of Mishnayos, various forms in which it was taught. Meaning you had, for example, we have our Mishnayos are based on Rav Meir's Mishnayos, but you also have, for example, Bakapara's Mishnayos and Levi's Mishnayos and Rav Yehuda's Mishnayos and so forth. And altogether, all of those different ways of learning amounted to 600 or 700 different ways. So the Gemara starts off. Tanya, Rabbi Yezer Omer, Yeshlah Mamashi Yismurku. The Mishnah had said that the Hetch and the Jordan, there's nothing to be Soimachan, there's next to nothing for it in the Posset. Rabbi Yezer says there's a solid basis for it in the Posset. Shenema, Kiyafli, in two places in connection with the Jordan, the Torah uses the expression Kiyafli, which means the word Yafli means to speak out clearly, one by Erchen and one by Nazir. Therefore, stay calm him. Achat aflala isur, v'achat aflala heter. One is speaking out clearly that you make something osur, that you say clearly this item is osur to me, and another one, a clearly speaking that you come in front of a chacham and you say that I have charata and I want to be matur neder. So therefore, the Rabbi Eliezer says there is a basis for it in the pasuk. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yeshlah Mamashi Yismurku. Rabbi Yeshua also says there's a solid basis for Heter Nedarim in the Pasuk. Shenema Hashem Ishbati Va'api. Hashem says, the Pasuk says in Tehillim in Hashem's name that I swore in my anger, implying Va'api Nishbati V'Chazalti. I swore in my anger and I changed my mind. Now, how did he change his mind? Because he was Matir Neder. The context that Pasuk Hashem Ishbati Va'api is Im Yivoyu and Omer Nuchasi. Tosfos points out that there's two possibilities. That pasuk can be talking about that Hashem swore not to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and as a matter of fact, Hashem did end up keeping that shvua, because he didn't bring them into Eretz Yisrael. It can also mean, though, that Hashem swore ba'afi in his anger that I'm not going to bring them into El Menuchasi, meaning into Olam Haba, and that you actually have a machlokes in Sanhedrin, whether the Dor HaMidbar has a chelek l'Olam Haba or not. So we can say, so Rabbi Yeshua is saying, they have a chelek l'Olam Haba, the Eivish just swore in his anger that Hashem Shabbati Ba'afi Imivorin Omenuchasi, that they won't come to my resting place in Gan Eden, but then Hashem had Charata and was Matur Neder about that. We have, by the way, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, in Agadah of Rabba Babachana over there, where one time you hear the Baskel saying, Oli Shinishbaiti, woe to me that I swore, Ba'achshav Shinishbaiti, me Meferli, and now who can be Matur Neder for me? And Rabba Babachana didn't say anything, and the Chachamim severely criticized him for that. So they said, we're talking about this very Shavua over here, that the Eivish just swore that there's going to be a Golos and there's going to be a Korban, and you had the ability to be Matur Neder. So he says to them, okay, I thought the Eivishter was talking about the Shavua that he's not going to bring another marbles. So they tell him in that case he wouldn't have said Oi. So yeah, the Gemara tells him Tzuka that the Dalad Dvorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mischaret Aleihem B'chol Yom, and one of them is that the Eivishter is Mischaret that we have to be in Golos. So he would have said something, then it may mean that there would have been an Iskin Iskaya. So that there's no Golos, yeah. What?
How can someone, including the Eivishter, not hear his own neder?
How can someone? Well, it's not master his own neder, that's the point. Hashem is saying, me made for Lee, who can be made for me? Meaning Hashem wants one of the Chachamim to do that. And Rabbi Baba Chana had the opportunity, and unfortunately he missed it. The idea being, in other words, that one idea, in fact, the word that it uses in the word that it uses in the Gemara over there is mefer, like hafaras nedarim, which is what a husband does for his wife, rather than what a chacham does for a person. So there's the idea, in other words, that the Eivishter was willing to consider himself, so to speak, like Rabbi Baba Chana is the husband, and he's the mashpia, and he's going to be mashpia to the Eivishter to be master in his neder, yeah. Okay, continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer Yeshlah Mamashi Yismurku. Rabbi Yitzchok also says that Atoras Nedarim has what to be soimach on in a pasuk. Shenema Chil Mediv Liboy. The pasuk says anybody whose heart makes him volunteer to give to the Mishkan, implying that if a person's heart doesn't agree with the idea anymore, if he changes his mind, then he can be Matir Neder. Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yeshlah Mamashi Yismurku. And Hananya ben Achi, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, also says Yeshlah Mamashi Yismurku. They also have what to rely on. Shenema, the pasuk says Nishbati vo akayema lishma mishpatei tzedakha. I swore and I will fulfill it to keep your righteous laws. In other words, so Nishbati, I swore va akayema and I will fulfill it, implying that there's a possibility of not fulfilling it. There's a possibility of making a neder or a shvur in this case, and then being matter it. So therefore, so that's also a source in a pasuk for hataras nedarim. In fact, Rabbeinu Hanano points out the implication is Mishpati Ra'akayema, the only reason I'm going to keep it is because it's Lishma Mishpatei Tzedakha. But as opposed to, for example, if I were to make a Shavua that, for example, Levasa was a mitzvah, then I wouldn't keep it. So therefore, so we also see though the concept of Ataras Nedarim. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel, but Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, I havoi hosim, if I had been there when the Tanoim were having this discussion, amri lahu, I would have told them, didi adifa miditku, I have a better argument than all of you. I have a better source in the Torah than all of you. Shenema, the pasuk says, lo yachel dvarai, he should not profane, he should not desecrate his word, implying who ain't in Merkel, he can't desecrate and violate his own word, aval acher in Merkel and loy, but other people can be Merkel, but other people can help him violate it, namely by being matzimed. So, Omar Rava, lekulu islehu pircha, as a matter of fact, Rava says, all of the sources that the Tanoim brought, all of them we can shlug up, levar midi shmuel, levas by pircha, except for shmuel, there's no way of shlugging that up. Because if we use Rebbe Eliezer's pasuk, we said that Rebbe Eliezer learns from Piyachli twice. Well, Dilma Kedir Rebbe Yehuda, Shalom Hashem Rebbe Tarifin. Maybe instead we're learning from that something else. We're learning what Rebbe Yehuda learns in the name of Rebbe Tarifin. The Tanya Rebbe Yehuda and Hashem Rebbe Tarifin. You have a case where two people are saying, imagine, for example, Rashi says, you have somebody is walking by. They see him from a distance, but they can't see clearly who it is. So one of them says, one of the people sitting there says, if that guy is a Nazir, then I'm going to be a Nazir as well. And the other one says, if that guy's not a Nazir, then I'm going to be a Nazir as well. So what happens when he shows up? So the Tanakhama says over there, okay, one or the other of them is going to be a Nazir, whichever one's words came true. But Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Tarfin, La'olam ein echad mehem Nazir, neither one of them is ever a Nazir, shall init Nazirus elal haflah, because Nazirus requires haflah, requires a clear statement. It has to be when he said, I'm going to be a Nazir, it was known what the circumstances are. If he says, I'm a Nazir, if this guy is such and such, then it's not clear, therefore it's not Yahdi. So maybe we learn that from Kiyahdi. You're going to say we learn from Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk Asher Nishbati Ba'afi Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe Faket. Maybe the pasuk means Ba'afi Nishbati V'lo Yadan Nabi. Maybe it means the Eved just say that I didn't change my mind. After all, as Tosfos points out, if we're talking about saying that the Dor HaMidbar is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, then Ataka came true. They didn't. And if we're talking about that they're not going to come into Olam Haba, well, there is an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, in the Mishnah and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that they don't have a place in Olam Haba. So therefore, so it's not necessarily a solid proof from there that the Eved Shtir was actually Matur Nedev. Or even that there was a possibility of being Matur Nedev. If you're going to learn from Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, which was Kol Nedivli, Kol Nedivli, right? Maybe not. Maybe that pasuk is telling us not like Shmuel. Shmuel says in general, when you make a neder, it has to be, even though you decided whether it's a shvua, a neder, or a hekdesh, or whatever, it has to be that you not only decided it in your mind, but also you have to verbalize it with your lips. So now, in this case, in connection with the Mishkan, the pasuk wants you to know. The Afgad Belehotzi Bisfasov, even though he didn't actually say it outright, nevertheless it's still Chal. Which Tosfos points out that, in other words, Shmuel would say that this concept of Goma Belibay only applies to Kodshi. But any other thing, including Hekdesh, where a person wants to be Makdesh, to Bedek Abayis, it's not Chal unless he verbalizes it. So we learn that from Kol Nediv Libay. Not that if he changes his mind that he can be Makdenedit. So here we're saying, even though he didn't express it with his lips, nevertheless it's still chal because it's kodesh. If we're going to learn from Hananiah ben Achir of Yeshua's pasuk about nishbati v'akayema, d'omar kidur of Gidol amar Rab. Maybe not. Maybe that pasuk teaches us like what Rav Gidol says in the name of Rab. D'omar of Gidol amar Rab, minayin shenishboyin l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. How do we know that a person is allowed to swear to be mekayim a mitzvah? So in other words, a person is obligated, let's say, to put on tefillin or give tzedakah or whatever. So you would think he's already mushba v'oymed. So what good does it do to make another neder or another shvu on it? It should be considered a shvua shrov. No, we say you're allowed to. Shenema, that very pasuk, mishpati v'akayem elishma mishpatei tzedkecha. And Tosfos points out, even he would mention Shem Shemayim in that. He would say, I swear to Hashem that I'm going to put on tefillin tomorrow in order to be mezayin himself. And you're allowed to do that based on that process. So therefore, all of their proofs is shloga. Ela, the Shmuel, less like Tircha, but Shmuel, there's no way of shlogging it up. Therefore, there is actually, Therefore, there is, after all, a source. Nevertheless, Marashar explains that the Tana of our Mishnah can still call it Perchin Ba'aver, because the fact of the matter is the deal. If you're saying, but the implication is, it's still not really a clear source that you can call it anything more than Perchin Ba'aver. So, Omar Rava V'Temer of Nachmi, so Rava or some say of Nachmi, said, this is like the expression people say, better one sharp pepper, and we're talking about the little peppercorns, we're not talking about hot peppers, one of those tiny little peppercorns is better than the late sana dekari, than a whole basket full of pumpkins. So in other words, the pumpkins are a lot larger than the peppercorn, but nevertheless, the peppercorn has a taste that overpowers them. The same way that Amurda, who's like tiny and very little compared to the Tanoim, nevertheless, his argument outweighs all of them. There's even, in fact, the Ion Yaakov points out, the Gemara mentions in Nedarim that Shmuel himself was physically a short person. So literally, he's like a pokalte, he's like a tiny little pepper, but he's got a sharpness to it that the Meloid San of the Kari didn't have. Okay. So that's Nedarim. Now, the next thing we said in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, was that Hilchus Shabbos is an example of Harorim Afloyim Nesaira, it's like mountains hanging on a hair. Because you have very little psukim about it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Michta psivan. It says in the psukim about the dinim of Shabbos. It says in many places in the Torah to keep Shabbos. We have the concept also of what melachas are. We learn from the Mishkan. That's considered, it's a limud gomer. It's not just a remez of some kind or whatever. So what do you mean? It's tarot about flowing Messiah. The answer is loy tzricha l'chidur Rav Abba. Yes, but the Mishnah is talking about, for example, something like what Rav Abba says, a fundamental concept in Hilchos Shabbos that you don't really have a posit for. The Amar Rav Abba, ha'choyfa guma b'Shabbos, a person digs a hole on Shabbos, the ein sorech el la'afara, he doesn't need the hole itself. Now in the Mishkan, when they made holes, it was because they needed the hole itself. They needed to plant plants in it in order to use for the dyes. But here he doesn't. He's only digging the hole because he needs the dirt. Potter allow. So he's potter because it's not considered a malach. So that concept, we wouldn't know that from learning from any pasuk or any limud from a pasuk or whatever. So that's up to kador. I'm upholding Messiah. The Gemara says keman to Reb Shimon. Well, then that seems to be only like Reb Shimon. Da'am a malacha she'ain etzricha legufa potter allow. He says that a malacha she'ain etzricha legufa, that a malacha that you don't need for the gufa from the malacha itself. So now, what is in malacha shein tzricha legufa? Here we have a three-way machlokes among the rishonim. What the definition of malacha shein tzricha legufa is? Rashi explains here and in other places that it means that you would rather not have been in this situation in the first place. You would rather not have been in the situation that you need the dirt, that you need to dig a hole to get the dirt. You would have rather you have the dirt already ready made. Same way, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about an example of a malacha shein tzricha legufa, let's say there's a nest in the house and you're carrying him out. You would rather the guy hadn't died. Tosfos disagrees with that because Tosfos disagrees with that on various grounds, and you could say the same thing as far as Sosa Amanas Livnas. So you would rather there wasn't a house there in the first place that you have to tear down in order to build it. And we know that Sosa is a malacha. So therefore, Tosfos rather explains that it means you don't need the main, you're not doing it for the main purpose for which it was done in the Mishkan. Again, the purpose for which they dug holes in the Mishkan was they needed the hole. So therefore, anytime you're digging and you need the hole, then that's a malacha. But here, you're digging it for a side thing, namely because you need the dirt. And then the Ramban has a different explanation that's somewhat like Rashi's, that you're not doing it because you're not doing it because of the goof or the thing itself. You're doing it to remove something. You're doing it to remove something harmful or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so Rav Shimon says you're potter. Rav Yehuda would say you're chayim. So according to Rav Yehuda, it's not how to learn the Seira. The answer is after the time of Rav Yehuda. No, that din that was saying about hachoyf aguma would work even according to Rav Yehuda. Because hachem the sack and hachem a kalkal. In the case, for example, let's say a person buries a mess on Shabbos, Rav Yehuda would be mechayev him, Rav Shimon would passer him because it's a malacha shen tzricha legufa. But fine, over there at least he's mesakin. He's fixing something up. He's doing a mitzvah and burying the mess. Hachem the kalkal, who here is purely being mekalkal, he's making a hole in his chotzer and ruining it. So therefore, even Rav Yehuda would agree that mekalkal is potter. Now, my karod and afloyim b'sayra. Now, in what sense are we calling it mountains that are hanging on a hair, implying that there's a little bit of a remez in the Torah for it? There's a hair like remez. What is that remez? And the answer is, the fact that it says in the Torah, the fact that Malachas Nachsheves Osra Torah, the fact that we know that only Malachas Nachsheves is Osra, only when the Malacha is important to you and you have Kavana for it, as opposed to over here, he's not having Kavana for the goof of the Malacha itself. Now, it doesn't really talk about that. It talks about that in connection with the Mishkan. It says, called the Mishkan Malachas Machshavas. It never actually says anywhere that that is meant to be applied to Shabbos as well. We only learn it by the fact that in the upcoming Parsha, in Parshas Vayakel, because it talks about Shabbos, and right after that it talks about the Mishkan, then therefore we learn that whatever applies to the Mishkan applies to Shabbos. So that's it's like a whole mountain over there, or like Marshall said, two mountains hanging on one little hair over there of understanding that the Malachas Machshavas applies not only to the Mishkan, but also to Shabbos. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said Chagigos. The next thing that's considered Karorim Afloim Besaira is the Dinim of Chagiga. So Gemara says, Michtav Ksivan. What do you mean? It says in the Pasuk, bring a Chagiga. And the answer is, White Tzricha. Yeah, but what the Mishnah is talking about, L'chida Omalei L'Papa La'Abaya. Namely, what a Papa asks Abaya. A basic question. The Torah never tells us the words Korban Chagiga. It says V'chagosem. So my Dahai V'chagosem Ose Chag La'Hashem Zvicha. How do you know B'chlal that it means a Korban? Maybe the Torah is only telling you celebrate the Yom Tov, have a lot of simcha, eat meat like we learned before, ain simcha of the baser. Tosfos brings another possibility. Choygu choga can mean dancing, like your choygu v'yanu kashikar. So maybe the Torah is telling you dance on Yom Tov. How do you know b'chlal it means a korban? So that's something you don't find in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, what kind of a question is that? When Eidishka tells Moshe to tell Paroi, send out the Jewish people, what is he telling them? Just go and that they'll go let them have a party and a dance? Obviously, it means they need to do something more than that. So you're going to say, maybe Taka, the Eidishka, is just telling Moshe, let him go out and celebrate in honor of the Eidishka for a couple of days. No, later on, by Yom Moshe, Gam after Tikin V'Yadenu Zvachim V'Oilus, Moshe says to Paroi, when Paroi after Makas Choshech says, you've got to leave your animals behind, so Moshe tells him, absolutely not, Gam after Tikin V'Yadenu Zvachim V'Oilus, you in fact are going to be giving Zvachim and Oilus to us, you're going to be giving from your own animals to us to bring us Korbanos. So you see that to begin with, when he was telling him, V'Yachoyguli means that they have to bring Korbanos. So therefore you see that a Chagiga is a Korban. The question is still, Dilma Hochi Kamarachmana. Still, fine, maybe the Chagosim Oiso is Dilma Hochi Kamarachmana. Maybe the Torah is saying, Ichlu Su, eat and drink, V'choygu Choga Kamoi, and make a yumptive before me, or dance before me, as Tosfos says. So in other words, maybe the animals that Moshe is telling Paroi you're going to have to supply are going to be for B'sar Taiva, for the people to be able to shecht animals and eat meat. Who says that it means a korban? And the answer is, Woy Sapadaydach, you can't think that way. Dichtiv, V'lo Yolin Chelev Chag Yad Berker. The pasuk says you can't allow the fat of my chag to be left over until the morning. Now, the Sapadaydach, the choygu, if you're going to say that the word chag only means a celebration or only means a dance, does that have any fat that you can be talking about leaving over on the Mizbeach? Obviously, you have to be talking about a korban. The Gemara says, why? The Dilma Hochi Kama Rachmana. Maybe you could argue what the Torah is saying is by the Loyolin Chelev Chagi. Means Chelev Habab is Man Chag Loyolin. The Chelev that is brought during the time of the Chag, you shouldn't allow to leave over on the Mizbeach until the morning. You have to burn it overnight. So in other words, not that there's a separate Korban Chagiga, but during the time that you're eating and drinking and feasting and dancing and so forth in honor of the Yom Tov, during that time, any Korbanos you bring during that time, you're not allowed to leave the fat over. So then what would the pasuk be saying? So what would be the implication? And the rest of the year, you would be allowed to leave that fat overnight. After all, the pasuk says that the fat of all the korbanos has to be stay on the mizbeach all night and can burn it until the morning. So any korban throughout the year, you can't leave overnight. So obviously, therefore, the loyolin chelev chagi can't just mean korbanos during the Yom Tov season. It has to mean an actual korban chagiga. Gemara says why? Dilma imahu. Maybe not. Maybe if you had that pasuk kolalayla adaburker hava mina hahu la'ese, then you would argue that means okay, you failed to offer the chelev overnight. Then you went over on an ese. Kosev Rachmana Haiva Lav. So now you could argue Velo Yolin Chelav Chagi also makes it that now you're over on a loises as well. It says also the Lav Kosev Krachmina Velo Yolin and Abasa Shetizbach Be'edah Bayim Rishon LaBoker. The pasuk says that when you bring the Korban Pesach, that you shouldn't allow any of the meat that you shecht on the evening before, that you shecht on the evening before, shouldn't be left over by Yom Rishon LaBoker until the morning of the first day. So in context, the pasuk is talking about that you're not allowed to leave over the meat of the Korban Pesach and not eat it. But fine, it also teaches us the concept of noiser. So from that alone, you have a lab. So obviously, the Yolin Chel of Chagi is not just to tell us a lot. Mo says, so what? The Duma Lava all of a Shnei Lava Nasa. Okay, so then if you fail to bring the Chelav overnight, then you're over on two Lava and Floss and Essa. Now, Tosfos points out that most of the time we don't say that. Most of the time we would rather say that a Pasuk, that an extra Lava and a Pasuk is teaching us an extra Din rather than just being an extra Lava. However, over here, saying that it means to tell us a new Din means, in effect, to create a new kind of carbon that we otherwise wouldn't have known of. So where do we have a source to actually create this new korban chagiga that we never knew of before? We should say it means that any korbanos that you bring during that season, if you leave it over, then you're on two lav and an asset. Ela asya midbar midbar. Rather, the answer is, how do we know that a chagiga is an actual korban and not just a celebration? Because we have a gzera shava on the word midbar. Moshe is telling Paro that the Jewish people are going to celebrate and make a chagiga to me in the desert. You have a pasuk in Amos where the Navi is explaining to the Jewish people that Eibishter doesn't need your korbanos; he needs your tshuva, ma'is, and tovim. And he said to them, after all, did you bring me korbanos and menachos in the midbar during the 40 years? We learned this pasuk the other day in the Gemara, by the way. We had the discussion whether did they bring the korban tamid during all the 40 years in the desert or not. So, Malahalan Zvachim Achan Zvachim. So there the pasuk clearly mentions Zvachim, which means korbanos that are shechted. The same way over here, then it means, so the word midbar then teaches us about Zvachim, about korbanos that are shechted. Now, Tosfos then says, okay, so in that case, why do we need the word V'loyolim Chel of Chagi? That teaches us that we're talking about a shlomim. Without that, Zvachim is a generic term that includes all kinds of korbanos. So a chagig might very well be an oila. But the fact that it says v'lo and chelav chagi implies that we're talking about a kind of korban where only the chelav goes on the mizbeach, namely a shlomim. And oila, the whole thing goes on the mizbeach. So that's how we learn ultimately that a chagiga is an actual korban. Umay b'karona fluim b'shaira. So why are we calling it like mountains hanging on a hair? What's wrong with that limud? After all, a gzeira shava is considered. Rashi says raya b'dolehi. It's a tremendous strong raya. It's practically written in the pasuk. The answer is, we know, as a general rule, divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah v'yafinan, because we don't make a gzeira shava between Chumash and Nevi'im. And here we're doing just that. We're making a gzeira shava on the word midbar between a pasuk in Chumash and a pasuk in Navi, so therefore it's only Karorim Afluim Besaira. Therefore it can be counted only like it's hanging on a hair. Next. The Mishnah had said Me'ilois. The next thing that we said is Karorim Afluim Besaira is Me'ilois. Here's where Tosfos says, by the way, that maybe Me'ilois already is in the category of Mikra Mu'at, the Halachas Merubas. Maybe already you have another category of ones where there's relatively few psukim and a lot of Halachas. Because, I mean, there's more than just Harorim, there's more than just a Saira when it comes to Me'ilois. The Torah does talk about it in a few psukim in Parshas Vayikra. So the question is, Michtav Ksivan, it says it pretty openly in the Pasuk. So it's more than just Harorim Afluim Besaira. It's more even than Mikra Muat. The answer is Amar Rami Bachama Lo Nitzrucha El Lachiditznan. Yes, but the Mishnah is talking about a basic concept in Hilchos Me'ilah, which we learn in a Mishnah, and there's no real source for it in a pasuk. The Mishnah says Hashliach She'os Hashlichosay. Now, suppose a balabos has money of hektish, and he mixes up and accidentally takes that money of hektish, forgetting that it's hektish, and gives it to a shliach to go buy something for him in the store. If he does exactly what the balabas sent him, balabayis mal. Then we say the balabas is the one who committed me'ilah. Loi osa shlichusay shliach mal. And if he didn't do exactly what the guy sent him, for example, the balabas sent him to get a shirt, and instead he got a jacket, then the shliach is the one who committed me'ilah and is going to be chayav the korban. So the question is, what's the basis to say that if the shliach accomplished his shlichus, that the person who sent him should have committed me'ilah? Since when do you have one person does an aveda and the other one is chayev? And usually we don't. For example, Reuven sends Shimon to kill somebody or to steal from him. We say, and Shimon is going to be chayev, Reuven is not. So why all of a sudden are we here? Are we saying that Reuven is chayev? It's true, he didn't know, but nevertheless, the question is, why is that considered a valid shlichus? So Hainu Karo are not including the Saira. So therefore we can call that like mountains that are hanging on a hair. Omar Rava, but Rava says, my kusha, why do you find that so hard to understand? Dilma shiny me'ila, the yalfa chet mi truma. Maybe me'ila is a special case. We have a Zeta Shava from Truma. And like you said before, Zeta Shava is a very strong raya, where it says chet by me'ila and it says chet by truma. Ma hosam shlucha shalom to Moise. Now, when you send somebody to as a shliach to separate truma from you, then for you, then that separation is valid. And what he separated is considered truma. So the same thing over here. By me'ila, we would say that shlichus is valid, and as long as he accomplished you shlichus word for word, then it's considered that you did it. So malhaus and shluchos shalom kamoisei. Afkan shluchos shalom kamoisei. So what's wrong with that? Why are you calling that only a saira? Ela omar rava lo nitzrucha ela lachidatanina. No, but what the Mishnah means when it says that there's something important in hilchos me'ila, which is like mountains hanging on a hair, rather we're talking about a different deal. That it says in a brisa, Nizka, the Braisa continues about that case where the Balabas sends the Shliach with money to buy something. Nizka Balabas for a Nizka Shliach. What happens on the way while the guy is on his way to buy the shirt? So the Balabas remembered that this is money of Hekdish, and the Shliach did not remember. So then Shliach Moal, then the Shliach is the one who committed Me'ilah. You've got to ask Shliach Anya, my Kovid, what did the poor Shliach do? The Balabas is part of, I understand, Rashi says, because once he remembers, then we say, in effect, he revoked the guy's shlichus. We would say he wouldn't be continuing to send the guy if he had a way of getting a hold of him. Nowadays, he would call him up and tell him, don't go. But in those times, he didn't have that option. So therefore, it's considered he was mevatel the shlichus. So therefore, the guy's not a shliach. But how can you blame the poor shliach and make him responsible to bring a Kovid Me'ilah and Keren Mechomesh and all that? In fact, actually, the Siach Yitzchak points out another reason we should say the Balabas is Potter, because now he's not a Shogig anymore. Me'ilah only applies with Mezid. The answer is, he says, because Rav Ashi is going to point out that it's similar. The Gemara, the next line of the Gemara is going to say that it's similar to taking Moiz Hekdesh and spending it on Cholin. So therefore, in other words, that here he's not the Shliach of the Balabais anymore. In other words, in effect, the point is there's no more Shlichus. Therefore, Rashi focuses on that point, the fact that the Shlichus has gone away, rather than focusing on the point that the Balabas is now a Mezid. So Hainukah Harorna Pluim Besaira. So therefore we can call Me'ilah Harorna Pluim Besaira. Omer of Ashi Mai Kusha, but still Rav Ashi says, why do you find that so hard to understand? Dilma Midi Dahabi Moitzi Am Moitzi Moitzi Hekdesh L'Cholin. Maybe it's not really any different than any case where a person takes money of Hekdesh and spends it on Cholin. You do it for Shoigig, then you're Moil. The same way over here. The fact is it was the Shoigig. The Meshaleach was Mevatel B'Shlichus. There's no more Shlichus. Therefore, now the Shliach is B'Shoigig. Okay, poor guy, he didn't know better. New, and every other guy who uses money of Hekdesh is also a poor guy, he didn't know better, but that's the way it works. So that's not a straw, so that's not a reason to call Harorim Atloim Besaira. Ela, Omer Rav Ashi, Lenitzrucha Ela L'chidetznan. Rather, Rav Ashi says, here's what the Mishnah means when it says Harorim Atloim Besaira. Here's another din in Hilchos Me'ilah. Notzal Evan a Kodesh al Hekdesh. If a person takes a stone or a beam of Hekdesh, whom Hareza Leimoal, he has not yet committed Me'ilah, because he hasn't actually taken it out of the reshus of Hekdesh yet. Nosna l'chaveri, but if he gives it to his friend, humal v'chaveri l'imal, then he committed me'ila, because once he gave it to the other guy, then he takes it out of the reshus of Hekdesh. That is when me'ila is chal, so now he is going to be responsible to pay the kerim v'chaymish and bring the korban v'chaveri l'imal. But his friend will not have committed me'ila, because at that point it's already considered his. So the other guy has to pay Hekdesh, the friend does not have to. So Rav Ashi says, Mechdi, Mechdi, Mishkal Shokla. After all, the other guy took it. Mali Hu, or the original guy took it. Mali Hu, Mali Chaveri. So who cares whether he took it or whether he gave it to the other guy? So it shouldn't make a difference. As soon as he took it, it should be out of the Rishus of Hekdesh, and already it should be, yes. So why are we saying that once that when he first takes it, he's not yet Moyel, and only when he gives it to his friend is he Moyel? The answer is, my Kusha, the Gemara says, why is that so hard to understand? Joma Kedesh Shmuel. Maybe the reason for that being is based on the way Shmuel explains it. Yama Shmuel, Hacha Begizber Hamasuris Lai Avne Dinyan Askinan. We're talking about over here, we're not talking about a regular guy who walks into a warehouse of Hekdesh and takes a beam from there. We're talking about a Gizber who's responsible. These things are under his control. So Hamasuris Lai Avne Dinyan, who has these stones for the building, Askinan is what we're talking about. So he has them under his control. He's the one who decides when we open up the warehouse and take out the bricks. So wherever it is, even before that, it was in his Rishus. So now when he takes it out of that warehouse, it didn't change Rishus. So there, that would explain why, therefore, he's not committing the Illah until he gives it to the other guy, because at that point, it's not in his Rishus anymore. So that's not a reason to call the Harurah Mechloi Messiah. Ela Misefa. Rather, we can answer if the Sefer of that same Mishnah that conducts the problem. The Mishnah continues, B'na v'soich beis. So if he takes that stone and builds it into his house, hareza leimal, then he hasn't yet committed ni'ilah, ad shi yodr tachter b'shav a'pruta, until he actually lives in the house to the value of a pruta underneath that stone. Which Tosfos says, in that case, what will happen is, only a pruta of it will have gone out l'chulin, and right now he'll be chayav to pay a pruta. The rest of the stone, he'll have to live, if the stone is worth $100, only when he's lived in the house to the value of $100, only then will the entire stone become chulin, and he'll be chayav for me'ilah for the whole thing. So mechti shanuya shanya. After all, at this point he changed it. Now he was koineh it with shinui, because after all he cut it to size. He cemented it in place. Mali dor or mali lo dor. Who cares whether he lived there or not? Hainu kaharona tloin b'sayra. So that's why we call that harona tloin b'sayra. But the question still is, my kusha, why is that so hard to understand? Maybe we're talking about the din that Rab is talking about. It's not talking about where he cut it to size and cemented it in place. We're talking about Rab says we're talking about he took the stone and put it on a skylight. So he didn't cement it in place. He just put it there to close up the skylight. As soon as any time he wants, he could take it. There's no shinui in it. So therefore he wasn't cutting it. So when he lived underneath it, then we would say he committed me'ilah, because even if you don't change hektish, just the fact that you used it in a shava pruta is enough to be mechayev you, but loy dorbe loy. So that's not a reason to call the hadar on a flame beside it. Ela, the Gemara says, no, la'olam kidirava. After all, we're going to go back to what Rava said, that we're talking about the case where Niska Balabais for Niska Shliach, where we said if on the way he sent the Shliach to buy something, and on the way, while he was away, the Balabas remembered that it's money of Hekdesh and the Shliach didn't realize, we said the Shliach has committed Me'ilah, so we said, poor Shliach, what did he do that he should be Chayav Me'ilah? And Rav Ashi said on that, so what? It's no different than any other case of Shogig. Here is why it's different. So you, Rav Ashi, are saying, so what? Anytime a person takes money of Hektish and uses it for Cholin, it's the same thing. No, the difference is, in that case, a regular case of Shogig, he knows that someplace in his possession, there's money of Hektish. So he should be careful. He should keep in mind to not spend that money. And when he does, it's not a total oinus. In other words, it's a Shogig, and maybe even a Shogig kod of amazed, and therefore it's logical to be Mechayim for that. Here the Shliach has no idea even that this was money of Hekdesh. He didn't know the Balabas had money of Hekdesh. The Balabas didn't tell him there's any possibility this is money of Hekdesh. Right. Therefore, the fact that we're saying that nevertheless it's comparable and the Shliach is committed Me'ilah, that's Ka'aror Nachloin B'Sayra. That's a mountain of halachas that depends on one little hair, which we can say there is maybe a reason to compare them, but it's a bit of a shvacha reason, and therefore we call it like hanging on a hair. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Oh, yeah.